Einmal wird es soweit sein,
one day
dass wir diese Welt
we will say goodbye to this world and be with the Lord forever.
Und dann wird sich
and then everything will have been worth it for those who have persevered, who in all the trials, in everything that came upon them, they did not lose sight of the one thing, namely the goal that God has set before us. Paul writes to the Philippians, all of us who are purposeful, forgetting those things which are behind and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. If we have a goal and are heading towards it, then we don't look to the right or left. And if we do, we have to reorientate ourselves very quickly and focus on the goal. If you lose sight of the goal, you won't be able to reach it. You won't find it. And that is why it is very important that in everything that comes upon us, whatever blows the enemy may deal, and whatever may be on our path, we must not lose sight of the goal. A person who walks aimlessly through this world has no stability and will be disappointed in the end. May God make this clear to us. We know that since the days of Abraham, when the Lord gave him the promise, he had a destination because God had spoken to him. Although he wandered the earth, he still said, I look for a city which has foundations, the city whose builder and maker is God. The people thought, he's here and there walking around like this. What is he looking for? Where is he going? He was looking for the city prepared for him and for all who love the Lord. And on that day, we will sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with all those who believed, who trusted in the Lord, who had the goal in mind and kept it in the kingdom of God, in the glorious city, and will then look back and say, Abraham, you were a great example to us. You set out when the Lord called you, and you reached the goal, and we with you. And I think that we will all thank the Lord, because if he hadn't come into our lives, if he hadn't taken care of us, we wouldn't have any direction at all. We wouldn't even know what God wants from us. And that is basically how most people feel. They know that God is there, but they don't know what he wants from us, what he has in mind for us. They don't know what time we live in and can't categorize the things that happen. But God has given us grace Let's read this psalm a little further by going straight into the New Testament. And then I wanted to read a word from the prophet Daniel. Here in Psalm 8 it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. We know that when our Lord walked on the earth and made his entry into Jerusalem, the children praised and glorified him. And all the people who had found favor with God joined in. And there were also those who did not like it at all. And they said to the Lord, do you not hear what these people are shouting and doing? He heard it. He knew that it had been prophesied by the psalmist, inspired by the Spirit of God. And then the Lord said, if they keep silent, the very stones will cry out. God has prepared praise from the mouths of children and sucklings, applied to the spiritual realm. God has made us his children, and we come forth as newborns, as born again to new life. And what is the mark of a new life that comes forth in you and me, that a sign of life is given? And that is that we somehow make a sound, that we let our voice be heard, as it is with earthly children and at birth. A child that is born on earth and has nothing to say, that cannot be heard, is dead. It is dead. And a child of God who is born spiritually into the kingdom of God, in whom a spring does not burst forth from deep within, opening up and letting its voice be heard, must perhaps need to be given such a clap as sometimes it happens, so that it realizes what has happened. God does not want silent people, but children who use their mouths to express their grateful hearts in words of thanks, praise, and worship. God wants such people. And when we read here, in verse 5, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. We know that this word was spoken to our Lord by prophecy. He was the Son of Man. He laid aside his spiritual, divine body, which he had throughout the Old Testament. He left his divinity behind and became man for the sake of mankind, so that he could suffer and die. He left his immortal body behind, so to speak, and came in a mortal body in order to redeem us who were sold under sin in this mortal body without hope and without God, in order to be able to redeem us in this mortal body. And then this mortal body was transformed back into immortality. And when that happened, as you know, Thomas was able to exclaim, "My Lord and my God." This Son of Man, who was humbled for the sake of his death and suffering, was then crowned with glory and majesty. The same words are written in Hebrews chapter 2. You can read or hear them for yourselves from verse 5. For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man."
Durch Gottes Gnade für jeden den Tod schmecken. Überall.
The gospel is everywhere. Wherever we open the Bible, God speaks to us and shows us that one for us instead, that one suffered and died for us and rose again on the third day for our justification and then ascended to heaven. He will come again with great power and glory. The marvelous thing about reading the Holy Scriptures is that the Old and New Testaments agree with each other so closely that God has predicted things through the mouth of the prophets for centuries, millennia, and then they were fulfilled. Here we are told something restrictive, but now we see not yet all things put under him. That is also true. There are still people who rule on earth, but one day it will be revealed. All you have to do is read the 11th chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 11, where we are told the following in verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever." And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his covenant, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. What a day that will be when this word finds its fulfillment, when all other kingdoms have been laid in ruins, when all the kings of the earth will shut their mouths and all rulers can say no more, when our Lord, who was despised and humiliated by all, will take up his reign, and all nations will see it. This is the time we are waiting for. You all know it is written here that then the time will have come for all, for the prophets, and for all who have loved the Lord, the small and the great. That will be our time. It is written here in verse 18, And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name. The reward comes not only for the servants and for the prophets, but for all who have feared the word that God has spoken by the mouth of his servants and prophets, who have feared the name of the Lord and have received the word. For them also comes the reward. And even then our Lord said, He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. So God will be as righteous in what he does as he has always been in what he has done. We can't go into the details doctrinally here. We are not here to do that this morning. But looking at this as a whole, it summarizes what will be at the end of this age. All the kingdoms of the whole earth will be under the rule of this despised Son of Man. But then he will not be the despised Son of Man, but the Lord God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Today, it has not yet been revealed that everything is subject to him, that everything has been put under his feet. But on the day we have now read about here, which is very near, it will be revealed that our Lord is or was not just the humiliated Son of Man, but Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And I rejoice in that. He took everything upon himself and came down to us. God himself became man, Emmanuel, God with us. And you know, the primitive people perhaps understand the Godhead better than the learned. In Africa, a tribal chief was very sick, and a missionary comes and says, "We will ask God, and he will send his son, and he will help you." And he says, "No, no, me chief, so I'm the chief. I was the superior. He shouldn't send his son to me. He should come to me himself." And that's how it is. In the Son, he has come in person, God manifested in human form. The Father revealed in the Son. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the government shall rest upon his shoulder, and there shall be no end upon the throne of David. These are all wonderful words. But in the meantime, and most people can't concede this, God has had to divide himself into one realm that was in heaven, the other that was on earth, to reconcile heaven and earth, himself and mankind. And this had to happen in a body of flesh here on earth. For we could not go up to God. He had to come down to us before we could go up to him. And that is not an issue to be argued about, but one that must be revealed to us through the Spirit. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. An angel cannot die. And this humiliation consisted in the fact that he came in this lowly earthly body and everything could be done with him. Whoever wanted to spit on him, spit on him. Anyone who wanted to call him Beelzebub did so. He put up with everything. They struck him, blindfolded him, and said, "You are a prophet. Tell us who struck you." He endured everything in his humiliation. But a day is coming when all who ever lived on earth will realize who this man from Galilee was. This Jesus, whom they cannot categorize today, a stumbling block, a rock of offense, but only for those who are lost. For us, a revelation of God, as Paul expresses it to the Romans in chapter 9, in verse 8 and 9, who is God over all, blessed forever and ever. Amen. And so by grace, we may see the plan of salvation of our God with his church and with the people of Israel. We may see everything by grace. A word that I wanted to read as an introduction into prayer. Yesterday, we spoke about the prayer of Solomon. And we are all struck by the way in which Daniel prayed in his time, pouring out his heart to God and waiting for an answer. And we are all in the same position. We want God to answer. And we are ready to say with all our heart, I failed. I wasn't what I was supposed to be. But combined with a certainty that God has His way with us, we may consider this prayer together as our prayer and bring it before the Lord. Daniel 9 from verse 4. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him, and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day. To the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel, that are near and that are far off, through all the countries, whither Thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against Thee. Let us stop here for a moment. The prophet tells the Lord that He will keep His covenant, His mercy, and His faithfulness to those who stand by Him. And I believe that even in the times when people do not fully walk the way of God, but keep His word in their hearts, God will lead them back to the path that will bring them to their destination. God not only begins, He finishes. He leads to the goal. He knew the end before the beginning, included all the hardships that would be along the way, and granted grace to those who keep His covenant and who love Him and keep His commandments. That was the first thing this man of God expressed: the faithfulness of God in all circumstances, at all times. And as it is said here, whether they are far off or near, whether here or scattered abroad, the same word applies everywhere. When we pray, let us confess and say to the Lord from our hearts, You are faithful, You keep Your word, we can rely on Your promises. You keep the covenant You have established with us, come what may. You will not let go of it. And then, of course, looking at ourselves, we realize that we have been disobedient, that we have not walked in the ways of God, have not kept His commandments and ordinances as we should have done. And then, on top of that, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. For the most part, people in their time have not been able to discern whether someone is speaking in the name of the Lord or whether he is speaking on his own initiative. And we know that when the eunuch was in Jerusalem and read the prophet Isaiah, he didn't know what it was about either. And he asked Philip, "Who is the prophet talking about here? Is he talking about himself or someone else?" No prophet spoke of himself. We want to emphasize that here today. They all testified in unison about the one who was to come, who would be made a little lower than the angels, and who must enter this mortal body to redeem us. Everything is told to us here. On God's side is justice and faithfulness. On our side is injustice and unfaithfulness. And yet we can come back to God because we have realized that God has spoken to us in these days. But those who do not listen, but walk past it, God will walk past them. And that is a conclusion that we can already draw today, without presuming to be the judge. Whoever bypasses what God has proclaimed through the mouth of his servants and prophets from the beginning, bypasses God. And he who bypasses God, God will bypass him. It is just interconnected. And that is why I think we can consider ourselves a fortunate people in that God has not planned past us, has not spoken past us, but has included us in his plan and has spoken to us in the depths of our hearts. God in Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory. He has redeemed and chosen a church in which he can still speak. Hallelujah. Blessed and praised be his name. He has people on earth with whom he is still heard, who still pay attention to him, people who have realized that it is they to whom he is speaking. It goes on from verse 8. Yes, Lord, we are ashamed to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. But with the Lord our God is mercy and forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against thee, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. This is also a confession, and you notice that it is not a prayer in unbelief, but he has had the grace before God to put things in the right order. Firstly, the faithfulness of God, which remains despite all unfaithfulness, because that's how it is written. Even when we become unfaithful, God remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. If he denies you and me, he denies himself, because we are sons and daughters of God. We are the result of redemption. If he did not want to recognize the redeemed, then he would have to undo his redemption, and that is not possible. Here we are shown the way. Lord, we have fallen short. Our kings, our fathers, we have all been disobedient. But with you, O Lord, with our God, there is mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We would act very differently as human beings. If someone rebels against us and wants nothing to do with us, yes, then we must let him go. God cannot let us go. He has done too much for us to draw us to himself and reconcile us with himself. He will not let go of us. On the contrary, he will speak to us even more powerfully and will put it in our hearts and say, I have always loved you. I have redeemed you and called you by name. You are mine. So, let us remember the nature of this prayer. Lord, you are faithful. You are our God, full of mercy and forgiveness, rich in grace. We have rebelled. We have been stubborn. Here it says, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. A confession that only someone to whom God is gracious can utter. And I mean, no one forgives himself when he brings this confession to his lips, honestly and sincerely. But we should not end up by recognizing where we have failed and how we have failed, but by recognizing that with God is mercy, grace, and forgiveness, that God leads us back to the paved way so that we can reach our destination. Solomon, that's how we looked at it yesterday. He did everything according to the word of the Lord that was given to David. Everything. And when he had finished everything, and the temple was standing, and everyone had taken his place, then he could spread out his arms before Almighty God, and the answer came down. The cloud of God's glory descended and filled the whole house. We, as people who have heard God's voice, and we can say this very clearly, I hope that everyone realizes it. We who have heard God's voice in these days may come back to him just as we are. Just as the people of Israel were allowed to return from Babylon when the word of God was delivered to them from the mouth of the prophets, they took the harps from the willows and returned to the promised land and set their feet anew on the blessed ground, on the land, on the place that God had promised them. Beloved, we are returning, spiritually speaking, as the church, not just anywhere, but back to where the church was at the beginning. And God has promised to restore all things and bring it back to the right state. It will be very different from what we imagine. And the bad thing about the Lord's first coming was that the entire pious world had its own ideas about how God's plan should work. And as a result, they did not see the actual work of God and the fulfillment of the promises. God took people who were not prejudiced, who did not have a ready-made concept, who did not know what God was going to do. He took the fishermen, the tax collectors, and whoever else was called, and said, "Follow me." He could tell them what they needed to know. He could teach them. With all the others, he would have had hardship and sorrow. They were full of contradiction, torn within themselves and not right with God. And because of this inner conflict, they would never have willingly listened to what he had to tell them. First of all, we have to recognize who it is who is speaking to us before we can pay proper attention. When the man was healed of his blindness and the Lord gave him some instructions, the question was, "Where is he? I want to serve him." And the Lord says, "It is I who am speaking to you." What was it? It began to burn in his heart. He knew and could say, "What others judge about this man is none of my business. I know one thing, I was blind and now I can see." He had realized who it was that he had met, who it was that had spoken to him, who it was that had healed him. It must be the same with us. Daniel says, "The people, the kings, the princes, and all of us have not listened to the word of God's servants and prophets. We have been disobedient." It is important that we realize in these days who it is that is speaking to us. That we, like Moses and then Joshua, would take off our shoes and say, "The place where God speaks with us is holy ground. Who are we that God should stoop down and speak to us through his word and spirit?" Whoever walks past this speaking of God, God will have to walk past them. It is a sad realization, but do not think that God will receive with a smile and with outstretched arms all those who have bypassed what he has said and what he has done and have disregarded him in his speech and in his tone. The Lord spoke at that time in Mark 7, verse 7, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Everything is in vain. Every service, every effort in the religious field, everything is in vain if God is not in the matter. And if God is in the matter, then it always agrees with his word, and then we have an amen in our hearts. Because it comes to the amen now, yesterday, a dear sister called me from the south And she said, I can't be in Krefeld, but I hear the cassettes. I get them sent to me. And then she made a remark and said, Brother Frank, an amen always comes out of my mouth when I hear these precious things. And then she said, what I miss, however, in the congregation where these sermons are preached, I miss the amen of those who are there to hear. And I said, sister, only when they no longer have it will they know what they had. That's the case with everything. The younger ones may not know it yet, but every one of us who has grown older, nobody appreciates health or many other things until they no longer have them. Then you realize, gosh, you've been healthy all these years, you have had no infirmities, but you haven't thanked God once. And then when the time comes, when things are no longer as they used to be, you realize what you once had. Beloved, not for our sake, and certainly not for mine, but we can say one thing. Our God has been and will be gracious and merciful to us until we come from believing unto seeing. We have opened our hearts. God has spoken to us. We recognize that His mercy and faithfulness remain forever, and that nothing but a blush can come to our faces. But His face is lifted up above us, as Moses pronounced as a blessing on the people of Israel, lift up your countenance upon them and keep them and give them peace, and so on. God is a faithful God, and in this we rest, in the certainty that He has given His word, has included us in this great plan. Oh, hallelujah! Praise be to the name of the Lord. Who are you? Who am I that the Most High should speak to us? If it was said with reference to our Lord when He walked on earth, what is man and what is the Son of Man? Do you realize that man is directly connected with the Son of Man in one sentence? What is man and what is the Son of Man? You and I have our connection there. In Him, the Son of Man, we miserable human beings have been made children of God. Who can measure the grace of God? If it were said that everyone must march 1,000 kilometers to attain salvation, they would march 2,000. But when God freely offers it to them and says, I have done it all, it is finished. You can come to me as you are. I will do the rest, so that no flesh can glory before Him. He has reserved to Himself to do the whole work of grace in us, in me, and in you. And as long as you or I, or any of us, or whoever in the country may be listening here and there, is still busy doing something themselves, they have not yet realized that we will be busy doing it all our lives and nothing has changed. But when we come to the Lord and say, faithful God, it will be you alone, our God and Lord, to you be the glory. Who are we? Nothing. What is man? What are you and what am I? What is the Son of Man? Our Lord, who humbled himself in such a way, became like us. For the sake of his mortal suffering, he went to the cross and died for you and for me. Our God has a claim on your life and mine. He has purchased us. He paid the price. And if I have paid the price somewhere, then the thing that I have bought, that I have paid for, belongs to me. Not with gold and not with silver, but with the precious and holy blood of the Lamb of God. We were redeemed and purchased. A hymn writer sings, I am redeemed, I may well boast, redeemed by the Savior's blood. Dear heart, give up trying to make yourself pleasing to God, or to redeem or deliver yourself. Come to the one who has been placed on the same level as us. What is man and what is the Son of Man? He became like us. Come to him who is your Redeemer, your Savior, your Deliverer, your Lord. Come to him. Say, faithful Master, here I am, helpless and hopeless. You are my help and my hope. You have been faithful and merciful. Even in the times when we went our own way, when we turned our backs on him, when we look back, God has followed us from childhood, has reminded us, his word has spoken to us. He has been faithful. He cannot deny himself. We come to him and say, we have done wrong. We have not listened to the instructions of your servants and prophets. We have not been obedient. We have not walked in your ways. But you, O God, remain faithful at all times and in all circumstances. We can trust you anew. And that is what we want to do this morning, to trust our Lord unreservedly and say, O God, who has spoken to us through your word and awakened in us a justified hope through your word on the basis of these promises that you have given, here we are before your face. We do not come because someone has promised us something. We come because God's promises for these last days have been made to us. God himself has placed an expectation, a desire, a hope in us through his word. Of course, not from ourselves, but through his word. And that is why he will satisfy everything and give everything and fulfill everything he has promised. His word will not return void, but will accomplish what he sent it to do. And the result at the end of the time of grace will be a church without spot or wrinkle, redeemed, cleansed, sanctified, transformed into the image of the Lord. He became what we are so that we can become what he is. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. May God put this very deep within us. What was the whole thing about? We have been unfaithful. We have turned away. We have not listened to your servants and prophets, and so on. But now the tide had turned. Now they listened. They were where God wanted them to be. And I believe we can say the same. God has at least brought us back, even if everything is not yet as it should be, but we are making progress step by step, and our God will not give up, but He will have His way with us and with all His people on the whole earth, and bring His work to completion and fulfillment, as He has promised us by grace. May all these words strengthen us in our faith, really with new certainty, with a new trust in God. We want to thank Him from the bottom of our hearts today. For we have listened to the words of His prophets, to the entire word of prophecy that has been summarized in these days. Blessed is the man who has a yes in his heart to everything God has said, and also an amen, that there could be a complete agreement in us towards God and His Word. And so the Lord will gloriously complete the blood-bought multitude that stands under His Word and Spirit unto the glorious day of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a certainty that no one can take away from me. Why? It has been given here in this Word of God, not just as one, but as many promises. Our God keeps His promises. The heavens will fall before I am deceived by your word, as the song goes. May God put all this into our hearts and make us thankful that we do not face Him in disbelief, but in faith, and say, Lord, you have promised. We believe that you will fulfill it. Take us, include us in your program, in your plan that you have for your people in the end times. We want to be part of it. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us rise and give thanks to the Lord. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts, we thank you together for your revealed word. O Lord, who are we that you have given us insight and an overview of your plans? As Moses prayed, if I have found grace before you, let me know your ways. O Lord, together we come to you as your blood-bought multitude, as people whom you have addressed, whom you have saved, whom you have pardoned. And we want to thank you, faithful Lord, accept us, bring us into your word and into your will. Give us an obedient heart and a willing spirit to do what you ask of us. Your coming is near, O Lord, and we ask you, that you prepare all your people. Lord, do something among your own by which we can recognize that you are in our midst. Lord, at that time it was no longer the signs and wonders, but the breaking of bread. O Lord, do whatever you please, but break for us the bread of life. Give us your word all the time. As we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, we have eaten food that the world does not know. Hidden manna you have given us. O God, who are we as human beings, and you as the Son of Man, faithful Lord, that we have found attention? If you had not been revealed as the Son of Man in human form, God would have ignored us completely. O Lord, thank you very much that you came to us, that you took on human form, and that you paid the price for our redemption. Thank you. You have purchased us. We are your property for time and eternity. O Lord, if you could, you would give the answer to all who call on your name. Verily I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Lord, we have been restored and transferred into the kingdom of God. Give us faith. We confess that you are faithful and true, and that you keep grace and your mercy for those who keep the covenant with you. Faithful God, we can't do it on our own, for we have fallen short, but you have remained faithful. Thank you. Lord, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. O God, your presence fills this room. Your word is powerful, and your spirit is at work among the blood-bought multitude. Faithful Lord, thank you for what you have done so far and for what you are yet to do. You know all those who long for you, for a new experience with you. Lord, let it be granted to us as real as it can be, O God. I thank you for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Amen.